Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're continuing our study of this book that records the progress of the gospel, the expansion of the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read the first 21 verses. This is God's word. "When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, 'Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues.' They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But some sneered and said, 'They're drunk on new wine.' Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, 'Fellow Jews, and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you, and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Why do we speak different languages? Where did all these languages come from? Well, you go back to the Old Testament and you find that after the flood, when people were supposed to go out and repopulate the earth, instead they gathered together in one place and decided that they were going to do something, accomplish something great. They were going to build a tower that would reach all the way up into the presence of God. And God's response is to say, we better get where we can see more closely what's going on. Because what was to man this huge accomplishment, to God was a tiny little thing, like a little speck on a blue marble. It's not that God doesn't see what's going on. God knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. God knows everything. God knows our thoughts. But the picture there in that story is of something that seemed huge to man. I'm going to build a way to God. That's not the way it works. And so God frustrated their plan, saying, wow, if we let them do this, nothing will be withheld from them. They can do anything. And so what does God do? He makes it so that they can no longer understand each other. He causes confusion in their speech so that this person suddenly now speaks a new language, and this person speaks a different language, and this person speaks a different language, and they can't communicate with each other. That halts the construction project, and they find the people that they can communicate with, and they go off and they settle with them. And that's the origin of our human languages. And now at Pentecost, God gives us a picture of the new heaven and the new earth, where there won't be confusion and there won't be disunity, but instead God's people will be one, and in his presence, with him as our loving Father, we will love one another and we will understand him and we will understand each other. And that is what happens at Pentecost. And it's the fulfillment of the promise that God had given through the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. So, look at the events, if you will. The day of Pentecost was a feast time. It was a time of celebration. It was something God had ordained for his people. And there were therefore folks who came from all around, from various other nations. They came to Jerusalem in order to celebrate Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, the believers were waiting in Jerusalem, all together in one place, and they were waiting because Jesus had told them to. He said, you're going to be my witnesses in all the earth, but don't go until you have received the promise of the Father, which is that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on you. And so they are obediently waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. One thing you can count on, God always fulfills his promises. But this was a promise that hadn't just been made by Jesus recently. It had been made by God centuries before. It had been reinforced by Jesus early in his ministry, and even by John, who prepared the way for him, saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So this was a promise God had given, and the people had to wait for it to be fulfilled. Please know this. God's promises are always kept, but they're kept on his timetable. And there will be things in your life where you'll say, I don't understand. I've prayed for this, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I just don't see it happening. Well, how long is your life? It may seem really long when you're young, but our life is short. When I was young, time went by so slowly. Now that I'm getting old, time goes by so fast. Let me tell you something. God always keeps his promises. And even though to us it can seem as if we're waiting, there were folks in Scripture who had to wait a lifetime. And then generations after. But the promises were kept. The promises are always kept.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan, Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. And they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages, different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now we read this, and if you know your Bible, this is a familiar story, but if you were there in the room at the time, I can assure you this was something they had never experienced and didn't know what to expect. So if you and I suddenly right now heard what sounded like a tornado, this rushing, mighty wind that was so loud that people from around the city came to see what was that, it might make some of us a bit uncomfortable. Do you think? That sound of a violent, rushing wind filled the place where they were, because the Holy Spirit is mighty. And what appeared over their heads didn't look like little LED lights that you string out at a picnic area at night. It was like flames of fire. Now, would you find that a bit scary? But again, I want you to see, this was God at work. And sometimes when God works, it can be frightening to us. I've said it over and over, and I'll say it again. God isn't doing these things to frighten us, but rather to teach us not to be afraid. He puts us in situations that to us are frightening, not because he enjoys scaring us, but because he is giving us courage. He's teaching us not to fear the circumstances, but to trust in him. So, frightening circumstances, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, the sight of flames of fire that are moving around and coming over them. But then what happens? God fills them with his Spirit. That is to say, God himself comes and fills them to overflowing, and they begin to express praise and worship to him. But as they worship him, what's coming out is not their usual Galilean dialect. What's coming forth is a multitude of languages. And the people who come to see, what happened? What happened? What was that? They hear the praise of God in their own language. Now, there is discussion, let's say, debate, as to whether what happened here is a different kind of speaking in tongues than what we read about in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 through 14. But when Paul's describing what it is for a person to speak in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, one of the things he says that is seldom given its proper attention in our day is that the person who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. That's what he says. And he gives guidelines in 1 Corinthians 14 about how that gifting is to be used in the public assembly. And he says it ought not to be done unless there's someone there to interpret. And if there is someone there to interpret, it still shouldn't be more than two or three people doing this in your worship gatherings. That, I think, is something that would be a very good rule for folks to pay attention to today. Because after all, it is God's word. But if you had an interpretation of what was said, the general expectation in churches where that happens is that the interpretation will sound something like this. Oh, my children, how I delight in your presence. You are my people, and I want you to know that I love you and that I have come to meet with you and to bless you. Now, my question is, does that sound like a message to the people from God? Or does it sound like what Paul said tongues is, and that is people speaking to God? Food for thought. What was being spoken here was declaring the glorious acts of God, celebrating His majesty and what He has done. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. Now, that could have been saying to the people, this is what God has done. Or it could have been the people declaring to God, how great thou art. It could have been praise to God. I just encourage you to ponder that. There are those who are absolutely convinced that God doesn't give the gift of tongues anymore, that when Scripture was complete, that ceased. And they use what is, in my view, a misunderstanding of 1 Corinthians 13 in order to try and make that argument. There are others of us who believe that God still gives this gift today. But I want to tell you about something I just heard over the weekend. I thought it was interesting to hear it right before I was going to be preaching this passage in our study of the book of Acts. But a friend of my brother's went as a doctor to Rwanda back in 1994, when about 800,000 people had been slaughtered. This doctor went to the hospital to try and do what he could to help. He was flown in. The plane let them out and then took off again. And they're left just to find their own way. They went to the hospital, and the hospital was choked with dead bodies. The lobby, the corridor, dead bodies stacked up like cordwood. And they began, after they had dealt with those corpses, they began to be visited by people coming for help to the hospital. And there were certainly some who were suffering from wounds, though most of those who had been hacked had died. But they found that there was a strange infection that was spreading. And it was very mysterious. People were dying from it, and when they tried to find the cause, they found that it was what normally is a harmless bacteria, widespread bacteria, but in this situation, in this environment, it had become extremely pathological and was killing people. And they tried to find a way to treat it, and they found that the only thing they could do to help was to give them clean water, which was in scarce supply, and to give them anti-inflammatory medications. And if they did that, the person would immediately begin to improve. And they would brighten and be conscious and able to communicate for typically of an hour or a few hours, and then they would suddenly worsen and die. So doing the only thing they could, and having secured a water supply, they treated these patients, and when they would brighten, they would share the gospel with them. They had a Christian businessman who was a native Rwandan who had come to the hospital to volunteer his services any way he could. He didn't have any medical training, but he could act as a translator because the American doctor didn't speak the language of the people and the people didn't speak English. And so this businessman, day after day, putting in 20-hour days with the doctor there, translated as he would share the gospel with these people as they temporarily regained strength. And a number of people came to faith in Christ. But finally, after several of these 20-hour days, the businessman said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go home and rest. I'll come back as soon as I can, but I can't keep doing this." They said, "We understand." So he left, and while he was gone, an older man came in with his family, and the old man was dying. And so they gave him the same treatment that they'd given others, and this man revived, but they had no one to translate. And so the doctor thought, I'm just going to tell him in English. And he shared the message of the gospel with this man who he knew would die shortly. And the man seemed comforted and then died. When the businessman returned hours later, he said, "I'm so sorry. How's it going?" And the doctor said, "Well, we just lost another patient. I wish that you could have been here to translate, but I understand. That's his family over there." And so the businessman went over to talk to the family. And after talking with them for a few minutes, he came back and he said to the doctor, "I didn't know that you could speak our language." The doctor said, "What do you mean? I can't." And he said, "Well, the family said that you came and spoke to them perfectly in their language and shared the gospel, and that their father prayed and received Jesus." Let me just tell you something. For some folks, this book is just ancient stories. But for those who are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, we see that God is still at work. He's still a miracle-working God. I want you to understand the purpose here was not entertainment. The purpose here was that as God fulfilled his word, the gospel was going to go forth to people from all the nations around. Because God's love has always been for all the peoples of the world. And God has promised that the gospel will be preached throughout the world, and then the end will come. And God has promised that around the throne, there will be people from every tribe and tongue and nation. God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.